In for Sean Pendergast this morning, I'm Sean Bajani along with Seth Payne. If you'd like to be a part of the show, hit us up, man, 713-572-4610. You can text the show. You've piqued a lot of people's interest in the unclaimed funds website, Seth.
Go to claimittexas.gov and see the riches that await for you. I've got about $150 in unclaimed funds, it turns out, in Texas right now, dating back to 2006. I've got nationwide insurance rebate. I've got something from Morgan Stanley, and then I've got something from the state of Missouri, which I'm guessing comes from when I was a Texans player. You have to pay out of state. You have to pay state income tax in the various states that you play in. So for a Chiefs game, I probably got some kind of a tax refund there. And it's such a nice way to celebrate the 4th of July if you realize you've got like $150 out there. All you have to do is claim. Now I got to go back and find out proof that I lived in that at that address.
I was getting very excited that I might have something in here, and I was asking you about like the tax situation. You have to pay taxes on this if you claim it, and you know it depends on what you're claiming. But my name's not even showing up, man. Like literally everybody in my family pulls up. And they have riches that await them, Sean Bajani does not.
Yeah, but then you get to tell your family members. Then you get to be the bearer of good news. Mm. You're staying with your family right now for your grandma's 80th birthday party, right?
I am.
Happy birthday, Grandma. Here's a link to you to go claim $77. And some savings bond from way back in the day or something.
Yeah,
yes.
And spend it on some scratch-offs and maybe get tenfold back coming to you.
Thanks a lot, Captain Buzzkill, for bringing up the taxes on it. I don't know if... I don't think everything that I'm seeing here would have already been in a tax document. Like some... The $35 from Morgan Stanley that I'm waiting on, I'm guessing it was on the tax form in 2011. So I'm sure I already paid taxes on it. I never collected the actual money.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to have to sift through this later on today. I know what I'm doing later today, poolside, when I get back to the house.
We did. No, our listeners, somebody listening right now is going to do it and get like $700 back. Every time we bring this up, somebody has a great story about
it. Text in 713-572-4610. Let us know what you find out, man. Good luck to you all. I literally learned something today. I did not know this was a thing. I'm very excited about this. At least not for me, but for my family.
Yeah, and the sports side of that, everybody, if you weren't listening, was that the Browns are going to use, was it $600 million in Ohio
unclaimed funds? $600 million.
So I don't know if the Texans are going to pull that tactic, then they might be going after stuff. You gotta get in on it now while it's hot, Dan.
I thought about something that you'd said yesterday. We were talking about, I don't even know how it came up, but maybe it was last offseason, right, when the Texans brought in Stephon Diggs. And we're maybe having these conversations like, man, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, 3 1,000-plus-yard receivers. What would that look like? How cool would that be? I think it'd be the first time it would happen in the NFL, I don't know, in like 15 years, something like that, and maybe the fourth or fifth time ever in the history. It didn't happen, of course, but you'd said something like, yeah, in so many words, like careful what you wish for, like that maybe means like you're weaker in other areas. It's not all that it's cracked up to be, kind of a thing, right?
Yeah. It's not like to just the vast majority of really good offenses don't have 3,000-yard receivers.
Yeah.
So it's not like some benchmark that you got to reach to show that you're good. I would have much preferred having 2,000-yard receivers and Joe Mixon going for 1,500 yards or something like that, more so than just trying to be so pass happy.
Well, I started thinking about it from a Texan perspective this season, right, with Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, and insert others, right? Like, who's that third guy going to end up being that steps up? And I guess for sake of conversation, we can include Dalton Schultz here. I mean, he's a pass catcher, right? Tight end position. So we'll not expand beyond that. But I thought about a guy who the Texans drafted this offseason, Jalen Knoll out of Iowa State. He was taken third round, 79th overall, and a lot of the stuff that I was reading, you know, said that he was expected to be taken sooner than that. Like in the second round is where he was being mocked to go leading into the draft. And I'm like, man, at the end of the day, season, could the Texans look at this as like a draft steal and maybe one of the biggest or the biggest draft steal in their franchise's history? And I'm not saying that to be like, wow, boom, like headline here, you know, look at this story. Like, you look back, Seth, at who the Texans have drafted at receiver in their history. There's not one receiver that they drafted outside of the first round in rounds 2 through 7 that has ever had a season in which they've caught more than 800 yards. Tank Dell got close. Tank Dell got close. He was like 792. But they've not had a drafted wide receiver outside of the first round that has had a season in which they've caught 1,000 or more yards.
What about Nico?
Outside, well, okay, Nico Collins, he was third round, right?
Yeah.
I was going to exclude Nico Collins for the sake of the conversation. Like, he's here, he's proven, he's a guy. But, like, outside of Nico Collins, you know, Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, like, those guys were early round picks. Will Fuller as well. Nico Collins.
Yeah. You know what? Glad it's a really good point, though, too, because even if you include Nico Collins in the conversation before he had his 1,000-yard seasons, it shows how much if you look at Aaron Rodgers when he was in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was part of turning a lot of non-first-round wide receivers into really good wide receivers. Like the quarterback really matters, but then also the organization's ability to find guys like Davante Adams and what have you. That's where, you know, Nico wasn't the guy he is now until he started catching passes from C.J. Stroud.
So hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully that's the difference with Jalen Nowell, perhaps. You know,
before
Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins were great receivers, regardless of who threw the ball to him, other than Brock Osweiler.
Yeah,
that was the only
guy
that couldn't throw to DeAndre Hopkins. But this is now you're in a dynamic where you have the potential to have a quarterback turn guys into better wide receivers.
So the Texans have drafted 10 receivers in rounds 2 and 3 all time. Only one of them has had a 1,000-yard season, and that's Nico Collins, right? But looking back in the history, from Jabbar Gaffney in 2002, Sloan Thomas, Jerome Mathis, Jacoby Jones, Doran Dickerson, you see where I'm going with this. Like, you remember, there's a lot of these guys. Kiki Coutee, remember what we thought he could be? Remember Jalen Strong, what we thought he could be? Braxton Miller. And now, you know, into present day, John Metchie, Xavier Hutchinson, like Tank Dell. Tank Dell's best season, 2023, 709 yards. Kiki QT's best season, 2018, 400 yards. Jacoby Jones, if I told you his best season with the Houston Texans as a receiver, he caught 562 yards worth of passes. What would you say? Like, as as like a legitimate, like, you know, number two, number three receiver next to, you know, Andre Johnson, would you think it would be more or less?
Wait, what would I say about what?
If I told you Jacoby Jones' best season with the Texans had him catching 562 yards,
yeah,
would you have expected it to be more or less?
I would. That sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And that's the best season they've ever had. So between Jaden Higgins...
Oh, that's the best that any of those guys have ever had?
Well, Jacoby, nobody's ever had, you know, the 1,000-yard season that Nico's had. They've all been, until Tank Dell. Tank Dell's the best. Tank Dell's the best outside of Nico Collins, 709 yards in a season. And he's not going to play this year, presumably. So Jaden Higgins, Jalen Nowell, second and third round picks, respectively, at the end of the season, at the end of the rookie contract, are we going to be looking back and asking, man, were those two guys maybe both some of the biggest steals and slash the most productive non-first-round wide receivers taken by the Texans?
You know what? I don't know about at the end of this season. That's where it gets interesting is how are all the targets divvied up this year. I think I would prefer, honestly, that if I had to choose between Woody Marks being having a huge rookie year or Jalen Nowell having a huge rookie year, I think I'd go with Woody Marks because it's more balanced. So with Jalen Nowell, I'm very excited about him, but he's got a veteran slot receiver in front of him to get a lot of the slot reps, and I think it's going to be Christian Kirk early on. And then with Jaden Higgins is the biggest X factor where I could see if he really takes advantage of teams focusing their attention on Nico Collins, then he might have some really huge breakout performances. I think Jalen Noel, we're going to see a game or two where he has 150 yards receiving on like two huge strikes, but it won't necessarily be the same steady diet as Jaden Higgins. But at the end of the first, at the end of their contracts or the end of the first few years, I'm really optimistic about both these guys. And one of them with Jalen Noel and actually Jaden Higgins every year, any of you I've watched with him, this is Jalen Noel. I don't know if you've heard this yet or not, Sean.
No, I haven't.
This is Jalen Noel when he was on the Amon-Ra Brothers podcast talking about what his first big purchase was with all that signing bonus money.
So with this signing bonus that you're getting, what's your first purchase? Like, what's your first big purchase?
Oh, man. If I don't get, like, a furniture deal or something, I'm going to get some nice furniture.
Okay.
Furnish the crib.
So you're getting a crib, though? That would be, you're buying a crib?
Renting.
Okay.
Renting. I won't buy until a second contract.
Right.
But yeah, I guess crib go into it, some furniture.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my little Toyota Camry for a little.
You got a Toyota Camry?
Yeah, 2021, red interior. So, it's good enough.
I respect that. That'd be tough.
He's got a Camry. He's driving a Camry, Sean. And he's keeping his Camry. This is a guy with a head. He's got his head on his shoulders. He has, because you know, if he bought the Camry with the red interior, that was probably some NIL money involved. So it's probably a nicer Camry.
Yeah.
But he's got no need to upgrade right now. I love rookies who sound like they're way more mature than I am. And it makes you feel good about them being in the right environment and having the right resources and a good quarterback to throw them the football. I'll take that. I raise my 40 time allowance like 1/10 of a second if I hear quotes like that out of a prospect.
Somebody.
I'll take him. And he's plenty fast. Don't get me wrong. I'll take him over a guy who might look a little bit more physically talented, but is already somehow 3 days after the draft, like $4 million in debt. Yeah. Give me that.
A 2021 Camry with a red interior. It can't be like all red. Somebody on the text line said red interior. That's tacky. It can't be like all red. Like it's 2021, right?
That's the beauty of it. If it's all red, I'm guessing it's got red accents or something.
That's what I was
thinking,
too. I don't
know. I hope it's red leather because that's where the you still get the spiciness that you want in a receiver, but it's restrained. It's a restrained spiciness. Just like DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson had, a restrained spiciness.
Yeah, that's fair. Somebody texted in from the 346. What about Kevin Walter? As it pertains to
draft pick of the Texans,
he was not a draft pick, and they caught themselves.
Nor was Brandon Cooks. Yeah, that's what. No, I went through the same as you were talking about it. I was like, well, yeah. What about Kevin Wall? Oh, yeah.
All right, it didn't sound right, did it? It didn't sound right because you're thinking like, well, hold on. The Texans never drafted a guy that is, you know, outside of Nico Collins, had a season of 1,000 or more yards that was not named DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson. Come on, that can't be true. Oh, it's true, and. That's what fascinates me about the stage in which we are in right now with the Houston Texans in their franchise's history, where you see all these great, big, bright, shiny toys that you've got the head coach and a quarterback and the cornerstone of the defense and these receivers, these weapons, all this stuff, and you're going out and you're having these big-time free agent acquisitions and signings or trades, whatever. Hell, we have freaking Danielle Hunter and Joe Mixon, you know, on this team. That's just wild to me. And now we're talking about like an era of Texans football that has never existed before. Like you're going to start hitting on wide receivers all of a sudden? You're going to start hitting on offensive linemen all of a sudden? Like when did this happen? Never. It's just pretty wild. Like just something to consider. Like, hey, this has never happened before. Looking at you, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, like you got an opportunity to make franchise history in your trek to the Super Bowl.
The all-time, it's fun when you go down to just the all-time single season records for the Texans and just like the Andre and DeAndre are the top 10 in terms of number of receptions. For some reason, this isn't giving me yards. Oh, there we go, yards. It's Andre DeAndre, Andre DeAndre, Andre DeAndre, all the way until you get down number 8 for Nico Collins. And then it's back to Andre DeAndre, Andre DeAndre. And the first round wide receivers have been good to us. There like most of the really good offenses have guys that are also producing who aren't first round receivers or Nico Collins. Like Nico might as well be your first rounder on this squad, obviously. And with what teams have done with second and third round receivers over the last decade, This draft here feels more like some of those old drafts. They got like some of those draft picks where Jaden Higgins, man, it totally would have made sense for him to be a first rounder. Jalen Noel, you get the size dynamic, but that's a guy that a lot of people had slotted in the second round. I think they're most potential to have guys paired with a good quarterback and get those kinds of performances that the Texans have never historically gotten. Yeah, that's they're primed for it right now.
Texture from the 832, Tank Dell wasn't the best. It was Will Fuller based on yards. Will Fuller was a first-round draft pick. I'm talking about like guys not drafted in the first round, specifically rounds two and below. You know, the most productive receiver in terms of yards and really just the whole bit, but certainly yards, it's been Tank Dell. It's been Tank Dell, and that was the 2023 season, 709 yards. And maybe it's Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. That's the question. Something to think about from a historical perspective with the Texans. A lot of people know their cars on the text line. 2021 Camry XSE. That interior is sweet. Red is for the Iowa State colors. By the way, so forgot about that. It's probably Iowa State. Maybe it's a little red and yellow interior. He could kind of swap the yellow for a little deep steel blue action if you're Jalen Noel. I would co-sign that. 713-572-4610 if you want to continue to weigh in, be a part of the conversation. We'll roll with some more Texans, get you caught up on some of the other off-season topics. He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. It's Sports Radio 610. Stay put.